it's interesting that after he
speaks about the endurance, the striving, the labor, these things seems like it require that, man, I want to hear about comfort and pleasure and Christian life. Everything will be just fine. You get saved and then just everything will work out. But he puts these things because that's the beauty about Christianity. It is real. It is true. There is no fine print in there that later on you discover, oh, I was deceived. No, the word of God is very, very clear. The Lord Jesus said, in the world, you will have trouble. He just put it flat out right there. No deceiving whatsoever. That's the beauty about Christianity. It is the only, I'm going to say, thing that is real all the way through when you read it in the word of God. But now he puts before us here, remember. So he puts before us now the Lord Jesus, because you're saying to yourself, striving, laboring, endurance, that's a hard thing. I mean, it might end up into death. That's just the worst thing. But then he puts before us the victorious one. Now, anybody who is into a soldier, let's say, he usually have in his mind or in his room a picture of a general, a great general, that is his hero. An athlete. If you are a runner or a swimmer or whatever, you have usually in your room or in your mind a picture of your athlete, your star, the one that you're looking for to be like him. If you are a farmer, you would always look at what is the best farmer, and you have that, you strive to be like this person. Now, here is the Apostle Paul puts before us, and you heard, I hope when somebody's speaking, look at him, look in his direction. You heard what Brother Chuck said. Not that. But remember, it's a person now, not a fact. It's a person. Look at the Lord Jesus. That is your model. He puts before us him. Remember him. Think of him. How do you know about the Lord Jesus? How are you going to get to know about the Lord Jesus? We go back again to have an outline of sound word. Go and read the Gospels. Go and read the Gospels. And when you finish them, read them again. And read them again. Because now you have your pattern, your example before you. And every time you go through battlefield, you will have that picture in your mind, the type. What did he do? How did he handle the situation? And not only that, what was the end? He conquered death. He overcame death. Remember him. He is from the seed of David, who will have the right, no matter what the enemy tried to do. When you have this confidence, warfare is okay. Striving would be okay. Laboring would be okay, because we have an object, a person in our view all the time in our mind.
I think it's also to add a wonderful thought that this is the man Christ Jesus. He sets before us the verses that Brother Chuck summarized earlier. And I was thinking that if there's one word that ties those verses or pictures together, it really has to do with faithfulness. Because in each of those examples, the thought is to be a faithful man. And so, as Brother Amos said, now we have one who was a man, the seed of David, that is set before us. And you see, this is what motivated Paul. And I think we mentioned last night that from the moment Paul met the Lord on the Damascus Road, when he was caught up later on, he saw things that he could not utter. But it is what made Paul who Paul was. You know, he was a man that certainly had great tenacity when he was in darkness. But when he came to know the man Christ Jesus, it motivated him beyond all measure. And that's why he says that even though he may be bound, he was in a prison, that the word of God was not bound. You know why? Because the word of God was connected to one who had come up out of death, who could not be amongst dead men because he was the perfect man. And that is who is before us, young people. I think Nathaniel reminded us yesterday and in your prayer this morning, it is not to be so occupied, as important as doctrine is, but it's to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. And when we're occupied with him, Paul says in Philippians, he is the one that is set before us. He is the one that allowed Paul or gave Paul the wherewithal to suffer affliction for the gospel. If we get that appreciation of the person in our hearts, it will make it easier for us to stand in a day of ruin. It will help us not to be ashamed of the testimony. It will assist us in being and having the right desires to be faithful in these days.
One has to see what a change it would have been in this epistle if this little phrase was not here that says the word of God is not bound. If the word of God was bound, what could Paul do? If Satan had the power to be able to bind the word of God, the whole work of Christianity perhaps would have been stopped at this point. But there's a therefore that is in the very next phrase. And the therefore is an important word. Paul says therefore in reference to that great fact that Satan cannot bind the word of God. He can take the vessel. He can take the man. He can put him in prison. He can do all kinds of things, but he cannot. When I was so glad we sang 367. I saw that there. I said, what a wonderful hymn to sing as we began this today. The solid foundation of the word of God. That's what we need. He says, therefore, I endure. There's that word again. I endure all things for the elect's sake, for this purpose, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Where is the Lord? He's on the other side of death, young people. We think of great events that we have seen in our lifetimes. Tony and I, perhaps some of the older ones, we remember Mount St. Helens. We remember, maybe you've seen documentaries where that absolutely blew the side of the mountain. Never had man seen such a thing as that. But we've had some since then. We've had the tsunamis. We've had the earthquakes, the devastations. Do you know these things pale in comparison to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? The one that spoke and it was done was put to death. He willingly went into death, and he's come up on the other side of death. So there is new creation, and this is where Paul is taking us. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead, mind you, with him. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, that's part of our Christian heritage. To suffer for Christ in this world. If we suffer with him, it's not we might also reign. It's not we could also reign. Look at the assurance of the word of God. We shall also reign with him. We need, I need, the brethren teaching need. We need all of us to let the assurance of these verses take hold of our own hearts. Because we're going into really these next verses that are going to put this to test for us.